Please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Acts and chapter 6. Acts and chapter 6. We're going to read together from verse 1 and we'll read on to verse 7. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Verse 4 again, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." That's the verse I would like to draw your attention to this morning. As we send off our dear brother and pastor, Johnson Malipenga, to his field of labor, I'd like to take my cue from the apostles who declared in Acts 6 verse 4b, "And we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." Now I take my cue as I issue a final charge to our dear brother. And basically, I wish to say to him, on behalf of the elders and on behalf of LBC, give yourself continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. The context in which the apostles made this commitment was that the church had been long inaugurated, formally. It was in the very early days of the church. The number of disciples was increasing, and so was the magnitude of the work. In those days, the apostles, who were the de facto elders of the church of Jerusalem at that time, took care of both the mundane tasks as well as the spiritual work of the church. Over time, this combination of tasks proved to be too much for them to cope with. Consequently, some of the work began to suffer. More specifically, a section of the church, namely the Grecian Jews, began to feel that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. There might have been some other ways as well in which the ministry under the apostles was beginning to suffer. So wisdom dictated that in order for them not to continue neglecting this important aspect of the work, even while maintaining the priority tasks of the church, the priority task of their work, they needed to institute another office and to set apart another order of men to whom they would delegate the mundane tasks. And so it was that they asked the church to look for seven men, qualified. And these men were duly chosen, brought to the apostles, and they were set apart for the work. This was, of course, intended to free the apostles, the de facto elders, to give themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And it is this discipline of giving yourself continually to prayer and the ministry of the word that I wish to commend to you, Pastor Malipenga, and to commend to all who may be leaders, pastors, elders, and to inspire the church to pray for these men, even as they give themselves to these tasks. There are only three things I'd like to say as we open up that statement. Notice with me, first of all, the men who are to give themselves to the discipline of continually praying and ministering the word. And the text refers to them by the plural pronoun, we. We. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the we, of course, referred to the apostles themselves. They were referring to themselves. And the question we must ask is, why them? If you are a pastor, why you? Why must you give yourself continually to prayer and the ministry of the word? Why them? Well, first of all, they were the ones called of God, qualified by God, gifted by God, and endued with power from on high to do the work of ministry. They are the ones who are called to do this. Secondly, they were commissioned to do this work of preaching, of pastoring. They were sent by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to preach, to make disciples, to teach them. And that is what gave them the authority to minister as apostles. Even so, like Timothy, you, my dear friend Johnson, you are charged with the responsibility to pray, to preach, to do the work of the ministry. So, you must give yourself to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That is the first part. Secondly, notice with me the disciplines they determined to give themselves continually to. The disciplines they determined to give themselves continually to. And there were two disciplines, namely prayer and the ministry of the word. Listen to them. It is not desirable, they said in verse 2, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, seek out from among you seven men. And they gave the criteria for their appointment. But, they said, we will give ourselves continually to two things, prayer and the ministry of the word. Let's look at those disciplines. First of all, prayer. Prayer may be defined as an oratory addressed to God in a respectful manner. That's what it means in this text. But why prayer? Why could they not be giving themselves continually to making money and giving themselves continually to make a name for themselves and giving themselves continually to entertaining the flock? Why not? Why prayer? Well, first of all, prayer is necessary because, as the Lord Jesus Christ would have put it, without Christ, we can do nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. Indeed, the apostles could achieve nothing in the ministry in their own power. John Piper captures this reality in his book, Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. He writes, and I quote, "The essence of the Christian ministry is that its success is not within our reach. This requires that pastors connect with a source of power for the ministry. This connection is secured through the action of prayer." End of quote. Piper continues to refer to prayer as the coupling of primary and secondary causes. The coupling of primary and secondary causes. The primary cause being God, in whom lies an infinite store of grace and power. And the secondary being the minister, who is dependent on that grace and through whom God works. Prayer connects the minister to God. Prayer couples the minister with God. If you would be an effective mouthpiece of God and bring the power of God to bear upon the ministry, you must depend on Him in prayer. Why prayer? Well, secondly, because it is necessary in the church. The ministry of the church, the minister in the church, are prime targets of the evil one. The church is not, the devil is not so interested in the world. He's interested in the church. And those that labor in the church, that push the ministry of the church to weaken them, perhaps even to destroy them. The minister must therefore watch with prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, you remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Watch and pray, so you don't fall into temptation." Watch and pray. For we live in a day of evil. The day of evil comes from time to time for both the minister of the gospel and the church. It may come in the form of wolves that are ready to devour the flock. Or it may come in the form of pathological antagonists who are ready to devour the minister. Watch and pray. That is what God uses to bless His ministers, to bless His church. Thirdly, it is necessary because it is a command of God to all Christians, but especially to ministers of the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, the apostle says, pray without ceasing. My dear brother Johnson, pray without ceasing. From time to time, I have opportunity to preach in pastors' conferences. And I am asked many questions by ministers. And one of the questions I'm often asked is, if you had to do the ministry all over again, what would you do? What would you do differently? My answer is always, I would pray more. I would pray more. It is the most difficult work of a minister, of an eldership. It is the most neglected discipline, not just by ministers, but by Christians at large. It's easy to see. We organize a Bible study. We have good numbers. We organize a prayer meeting. Very few. That is also true in private. In case some of you are saying, no, I don't come to the prayer meeting because I'm praying in private. You read the Bible more than you pray, don't you? True for ministers. The second discipline is the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. The word translated ministry has the same root word from which the word deacon is translated. It simply means serving. The word translated word is a reference to the scriptures, the word of God, the truth. The ministry of the word, therefore, is about doing the bidding of God, doing the bidding of the master with respect to the word. And what does the master require you as a minister in regard to the word? Well, he requires you to administer the word. He requires you to administer the word. And when you do that, you are serving as a minister of the word. I wish to highlight two areas in which the minister, in which you, Pastor Malipenga, must exercise this ministry. First, you must do it in teaching the church in various circumstances. In small group settings, teach the word. In counseling, teach the word. Whenever people approach you for guidance about anything, turn to the word and teach the word. You are given the Bible, and the Bible, we are told in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, is profitable for, among other things, teaching. So don't let it collect dust. Pick it up, read it, study it, and teach the word. Secondly, you are to exercise this ministry in preaching the word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Preaching, of course, involves teaching doesn't necessarily involve preaching. A preacher must preach and teach. A teacher may not be a preacher. But here, the command is to preach. Preach. And true preaching consists of three things: the proclamation of the word, the explanation of the word, and the application of the word. And its proclamation, explanation, and application by one who legitimately serves as a herald of God. He has been recognized, he has been called, he is qualified, he is gifted, he's been set apart, he's been given the authority to speak in God's name, to apply his words to the lives of men. Again, we must answer the question, why? Why preach? Well, it is important because, first of all, it is a uniquely powerful tool in the hand of God. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. And the gospel is what we preach. Preach it, and it will do great things. Preach it, and it will deliver men from Satan and from sin. Preach it, and it will sanctify men. Secondly, preaching is the primary means of grace. Again, to speak to those who make much of private disciplines. And I'm not saying anything against private disciplines. They are very important. But public disciplines, and especially the preaching of God's word, is even more important. When you are struggling in private and you decide, I won't go to church until I have sorted myself out, well, the chances are that you will die. Go to church. Listen to preaching. Preaching is the primary means of grace. God normally saves through preaching. He sanctifies his people through preaching. You know Romans 10 and verse 14, don't you? How shall they call upon him whom they have not heard? Verse 14. How shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear, listen, without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So there we see those elements: proclamation, explanation, application by one who is a legitimate herald of God. They have been sent. And I say it's the primary means. The more you hear it, the better for you, the easier it is for you in your march to be conformed to the image of Christ. Finally, notice with me the discipline of giving oneself continually to prayer and the ministry of God's word. The discipline. And I want you to note those words in verse 4 of Acts chapter 6. But we will give ourselves continually. We will give ourselves continually. That word translated we will give ourselves continually refers to adhering closely or perseveringly to something. It can literally be translated as being strong toward something. And so I say to you, my dear brother, Pastor Malipenga, to you leaders, elders, leaders of ministries, number one, adhere closely to prayer. Allow nothing, in other words, to interfere with it. We are so easily distracted, aren't we? But allow nothing to interfere with it. Allow nothing. Not indwelling sin, not a lack of discipline, which can so often come in the form of distractions from good things. When you don't pray, it's not that you have chosen to sin. It's because you have chosen to do other good things. And I'm saying, don't allow even distractions from good things. The demands of the ministry are great. And if you sit where you are sitting, you just have no idea. The demands of the ministry are great. And they are so much, they demand so much of your time that you will forget to pray. Don't allow even distractions from good things, such as reading, the demands of the ministry. Don't allow. Looking after a family is a good thing. But even that shouldn't allow you to stop adhering closely to prayer. Visiting people is a good thing, but even that should not be allowed to stand in the way of prayer. Don't allow forgetfulness to stand in the way. Use your phone. Put on the alarm. Set your prayer time. And when it rings, pray. Adhere closely to prayer. Do not neglect that because you are on social media. You're on Facebook or Twitter or WhatsApp or Instagram. Don't allow anything. Adhere closely to prayer. This is what the apostles meant. Secondly, adhere closely to preaching. Adhere closely to preach. Never allow anything to dislodge preaching. You know, in a church when you're beginning to lose numbers, even when you used to preach, entertainment is not the way. We're not here to entertain our people. You find very soon ministers beginning to compromise, to allow entertainment, to turn the church into a theater in order to draw people. And preaching takes the back seat. They used to take an hour. They start reducing it to 40 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes. Some churches even do it for 10 minutes. Compared to every other thing that they are doing, in which they are willing to take a lot of time. Never allow anything to dislodge preaching. Do not hold back from the word of God. Proclaim God's word plainly, commending yourself to the consciences of men. preach the word, not your own opinions. Preach the word, not your own ideas. Preach the word, not what your people want to hear. Preach the word. And be in a shape to preach. David Murray. Many of you, I'm sure, have not heard of him. But he writes, a holy life will impart moral authority and spiritual power to a preacher's words. End of quote. Robert Murray McChane, a few more of you may have heard of him. He says, the life of a minister is the life of the ministry. Be in a shape to preach. Apply the word of truth courageously. Sometimes we define preaching as application, application, application. You must apply it courageously. People don't enjoy obligatory preaching. They don't enjoy being challenged. And when you do that, you may be branded a harsh man or not such a good man because you are direct. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it with love. But preach courageously, rebuke, exhort with long suffering, reprove. Preach the word. Adhere to that word closely. When you do this, and I want to end with this, you will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this was what his ministry was about. Pray. Teaching and preaching. Yes, there are other things to life, and there must be a balance. But here is my charge to you. Give yourself continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word of God, and it will be well. May God bless you. May God bless Trinity Baptist Church. May God bless the work of his kingdom to his glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen.